of stewardship. It's part four that we're doing today. We're dealing with the matter of talents. Now, we're just not talking, you know, can you spin a football and hold it on your finger? Or, you know, can you roll your tongue? And we're not talking about necessarily those talents, though those can be used too for God's glory. We're talking about everything that God has given us. The ability to speak. Some can do it better than others. There's a lot of people who can speak better than me. Some people can sing. There's a whole lot of people that can sing better than me. But does that mean that I'm not supposed to sing or I'm not supposed to speak? No. God has given me that talent too. So I do those things. We're to use all the talents that He gives us for His glory. Now, there's a general principle in Scripture that we need to remember is that if God brings up the topic again and again and again and again throughout Scripture, it's important and we should pay attention. So let's pray and then let's go see what God's Word has to say about using our talents. Father God, we come before You this morning. We seek, first of all, Lord, Your presence. And we know, Lord, that it is indeed here, and we welcome You. We welcome You to this place. And now, Lord, we ask that You would lead and guide not just this message, Lord, but our lives. Father, I pray for Your anointing as I preach this morning, that I would speak, God, the leading and the infilling of Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray for each person who's hearing this message, that You would touch them and open their hearts and their minds to hear what You have to say, despite whatever impediments I might bring to that message. Lord, use me as a vessel to carry that message to them, but might they hear You and not me. And might Your truth draw them closer to You and strengthen their walk with You. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to start again from in the beginning of the Bible and work more towards the end. We're going to start in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 8. Section verses 10 through 20 deals with simple things. Eating. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, and His decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord, your God, who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it all might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and my strength of my hands have produced this wealth. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed, like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so that you will be destroyed not for obeying the Lord your God. Again, verse 18. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. Just eating, having food, and being able to grow crops, get a job, go do these things. This is an ability, this is something that God has given us. And he warns us not to get proud in our own strength, that we're thinking, hey, look what I did. We don't do anything without God's providing for us. And we need to remember that. That is why, as a child, my parents sat me down at mealtime and said, let's bow our head, and we prayed. By thy goodness, we are fed. Thank the Lord for our daily bread. Amen. Short, sweet. That's the prayer that I grew up with as a child. It's the prayer my children learned. I still pray. It's not just mindless something that I repeat, but it has it all in there. By thy goodness. It's the Lord that gave it. That all that I have comes from him. It's a reminder every time we eat. To keep him first. You see, we need to remember that we're here as stewards. We haven't been given this earth to do with as we please. We've been given the earth as a trust for God to care for it for the glory and honor of his name. There's a difference. See, it's not all about what I want. It's about what God wants. So that's what I'm supposed to be focusing on. We see this in Matthew chapter 25. You can look at all of Matthew 25. It is three separate parables. They all have to do about being stewards of waiting for God and how we're to do so. How we're to manage those resources which he has put into our hands as we wait for his coming. And to recognize the fact that when he does come, there will be an accounting done. Let's look at the middle parable. The parable of the talents. And that starts in verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money. To another, 2 talents. And to another, 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. We'll stop. God has given us each talents according to our ability. Some of us have more talents than others. But each will be held accountable according to the talents that they've been given, according to their ability. So it's not that God's going to pick on anybody. He knows what I'm capable of. So that means if he's given me more, that means he expects much more of me. If he's given you more, he expects much more of you. If he's given you less, the expectation is not as high. Because we don't all have the same abilities. Quite frankly, we're each one unique. And he's given us abilities to do that. Why? Because we are a body. We're not meant to be all by ourselves. We're meant to work together. Now let's go back and take a look at these talents as we go to the end. And this comes back. I'm going to jump on to verse 19. It says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. See, he had used out and gained 5 more talents. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. Then he moves on to the man with 2 talents. He said, master, he said, you entrust me with 2 talents? See, I have gained 2 more. And the master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. See, he didn't say, well, why didn't you have 5 talents? The other one managed to get me 5 talents. He said, no, well done. But to the one who had given 1 talent to, What is the response? The man who had received the one talent came and said, Master, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. See, his idea was that if I hold tight to that which he held, and I just don't lose it, I'll be able to satisfy him, and he won't get mad. But that's exactly the wrong attitude. God doesn't give us something so that we can hoard it and keep it just to ourselves or to not use it. He gives it to us for the purpose of being used and for the purpose of increasing his kingdom. So what he does, verse 28, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has been given more, he will be in abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside. Well, he saved it for me. Not good enough, says God. It's not good enough for us just to be faithful in maintaining or keeping what he's given us. We have to be faithful in seeking to do what he's told us to do, which is increase the kingdom. To take the gospel to the world. To encourage and help one another. We see in the next parable how we can help one another. He says, you know, what you do for the least of these, so you do unto me. This is where that passage is. We see he's talking about a separation of sheep and goats, and they're saying, well, what do we do? He said, well, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. That's verse 34. The kingdom that preceded you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you? And the king will reply in verse 40. I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, so you did for me. So we have the very principle that when we come alongside and we help our brothers and sisters in Christ, and as we bring more into the kingdom by sharing the gospel, we are doing what it is God wants us to do. We are doing it as unto him. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. See, our life itself is supposed to be a sacrifice unto God. As a steward, my job is to live my life for God. And all the talents that he gives me, all the things, that's what talents means here, is everything I have. My house, my kids, my life, my possessions, they're all blessings that God has given me. And I'm to use them all for his glory. Well, how do I use my house for God's glory? Well, I don't allow it to be a place of crime. I don't allow things to go on there that shouldn't ought to happen according to God's commandments. I make my home a place of help and comfort for those in need. If somebody comes to me and says, hey, I need help, they shouldn't get a slammed door in their face. We're to live our lives as a sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will, his good and pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Because God has not given any of us the whole package. Because all of us are intended to be just a part of the whole, of the body. We see here in verse 4, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You belong to me, and I belong to you. And we belong to each other because we are the body of Christ. And our purpose, God's purpose for us, is to care for one another. And together work doing the tasks of taking the gospel and worshiping Him. That's what we're supposed to do, is take the gospel to the world and worship Him. And care for one another in the process. We have different gifts, verse 6. According to the grace given us, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. We're all to work together, each its part as God has enabled. This is true stewardship. And the thing of it is, it's not just in one place in Scripture. It's all throughout Scripture. We see this illustration again and again of God calling us together of the body. 1 Corinthians, Paul brings it up again. Chapter 12 is basically nothing but a description of the one body and how we're to work together as brothers and sisters. Verse 12 of chapter, or 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says this, the body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greeks, whether slave or free, and we are all given one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. God has arranged you and me just as He wanted us to be. Because we are parts of the body. I told you my mother was in the hospital. It is in the hospital, but she went in on Sunday afternoon and she got great emergency care. Doctors and nurses, technicians all working together trying to figure out what's going on. They didn't have a clue as to what was causing it, but they did see that she wasn't breathing properly. And they did what they could to treat that symptom and care for it. And they kept giving her more and more oxygen and higher flow rates, and then higher and higher concentration levels. But they all work together. Monday, they sent her to a technician, one after another, different things, doing tests, getting all this done. Tuesday, there was a doctor who came new onto the case, and a nurse that was his first time caring for my mother. Neither one of them did their job. They didn't do their job. My mother almost ended up in intensive care because these two didn't do their job. Little things. Oh, yes. It says on the chart that she's diabetic. We should probably be testing her blood sugars and giving her insulin. They weren't doing it. See, after the rush of the emergency, and then the new people came on board doing it, there were two people that dropped the ball. There were other people that were doing good work. But the body wasn't working together. The team wasn't there. I'm sorry, that was actually Monday that that happened. But on Tuesday, that was on Tuesday. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Point is, it happened, and it shouldn't have. My mother, crying in frustration to me, told me what the problem was. And she told me her plan to fix it. She was going to try to cajole, nudge, give leading hints to the doctors and nurses so that they would fix this. And I said, why? You're not a nurse anymore. You don't have to worry about somebody's ego. You don't have to work with these people and protect. You're the one in charge. Tell them what you need and what you want. And she did tell them what they needed. Her doc came in and she said, this other doc that came in and covered, dropped the ball. This nurse, dropped the ball. This is what was wrong. This is what I need. Doctor said, you're right. Other than that, doctor came together and they pulled in the other doctors and the nursing staff. And they all got together. And now, today, my mom is totally off any tubes. The other day, she was so tied up with tubes, she couldn't eat. She had too many tubes and stuff in her hands and arms. They had to cut her food for her. But now, she's not, because the team worked together. That stuff could have been avoided, had the team come together and worked together and done things right. Many times in the church, in our lives, we have problems that come in. Why? Because we're not working together as the body. One part of the body has gone off and said, I'm going to take today off. I really don't feel like doing my job today. The other part of the body, they were mean to me. That hand, it pinched me. The hand says, well, I was just trying to get that zit. I thought I was helping. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe the hand was doing it. We do that within the body. And then when the body suffers, you see, you don't have the right to take your gifts away from the rest of us because we need you. Without you, we are not whole. That's the way God created us to be. To work together. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Ephesians chapter 4. You can read this whole thing here, but let's just focus in on starting verse 11. It was He who gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head. That is Christ, in case you're questioning. Into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him who is the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As each part does its work in love. Selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. This is what God wants us to do with one another. We're to work together for His glory. Again, time after time, place after place in Scripture, I did not get an exhaustive list of Scripture that dealt with this topic here. This is something which is important. This isn't a point of doctrine or theology that we can really have any disagreement or question here. This is something where God has spoken clearly and said, this is what I require of you. To love one another. To work together. To submit to the authority of Christ. And do as the Holy Spirit directs and empowers. Every one of us, everyone has been gifted. These gifts are to be used for the benefit of the whole body. And we will be held accountable for what we do with them or what we don't do with them. See, it's not enough just to not sin by commission. Why didn't you go out and murder anybody? Yeah, but did you help the person that you saw dying at your feet? God will hold us accountable. What we do with everything that He gives us. He's given it to you. He's given it to me. We're to work together under His headship. Let's pray. Father, help us to be good stewards of these gifts, these talents, these abilities. Everything that You've put in our hands and under our control. Lord, might we use these things to come alongside and encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. Might we use them to take out the gospel to the world and to our neighbors. Father, might we be faithful and successful in that faith. And that we will not just try to hoard that which You put in our hands, but instead, and try to conserve it, but instead, Lord, might we use it for the honor and glory of Your name's sake and multiply and grow the kingdom of God according to Your will, Your direction, and Your empowerment. Lord, might we set aside our will and follow Yours alone. Might we do so in an attitude of love and of thankfulness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.